May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a real privilege to be able to speak at this farewell service for Derek Holbert as he shortly steps down from the role as Director of Education here in Guildford Diocese. I've thoroughly enjoyed my shortish stint working with Derek in the diocese thus far and have hugely appreciated his wisdom, his humility, his passion, his untiring commitment to children and teachers, to education more broadly, and, of course, to the cause of Christ. The word gentle in the Bible literally means having strength under control. A gentle person is therefore someone with great inner strength who never uses their abilities to bully, to dictate, or to undermine the confidence of other people. In fact, quite the reverse. And throughout his working life, whether as a head teacher in Soho or as director of education here in Guildford, Derek has proved himself to be a real gentleman. And so to our Bible reading this afternoon and this well-known hymn to love, perhaps the most famous of all of St. Paul's writings. It was written to a community where there was plenty of passion, but alarming division. A community where people claimed to have special gifts and where extravagant acts of devotion took place as publicly as possible so as to enhance the reputations of those who performed them. We're not quite talking suicide bombers here, but we are talking people metaphorically holding enormous checks towards the cameras just to show how astonishingly generous they had been. This was the world of the so-called super apostles, who found the gospel according to St. Paul rather lacking in excitement and pizzazz. As they boasted about their amazing wisdom and their incredible spiritual experiences, Paul chose instead to concentrate on his own foolishness and weakness. For here was a man who recognized that the life and health of any community doesn't depend on flashy leadership or on wild, extravagant gestures or on the endless chopping and changing that comes from courting public opinion. It rather depends on a solid, steady, long-term commitment to improving the lives of those in the community, without trying to speed things along artificially and without getting worried about who gets the credit. So what was the motivation that would lead people to live like that? It was simply this. It was love. A love that was patient, kind, generous, humble. A love that always believed, always hoped, always endured. A love that never gave up. This kind of love, in fact, that we have witnessed in Derek's extraordinary commitment to his leadership role, as he in turn has followed the greatest of all lovers in the very noblest sense of that term, Jesus Christ himself. And it might be overplaying it to claim that all of the Church of England schools under Derek's care have been consistently loving. And it would certainly be unfair to say that the community schools that have surrounded them have somehow been lacking in that regard. But there's something about the Church of England's steady, unflashy, historic commitment to education, and something about her rootedness in the teaching and the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and in 2,000 years of Christian wisdom. And there's something about the synergy where the school community and the church community genuinely work together for the common good that does chime in with Paul's teaching in our Bible reading this afternoon. Church schools aim for academic excellence, of course. They seek to recognize and release the God-given gifts and abilities of all their pupils, and anything short of that is simply not good enough. But unless love lies at their heart, that humble, patient, self-giving love so perfectly exemplified by Jesus Christ, then all else is a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal so much hot air. It's a long-term perspective that may explain the enduring appeal of church schools in an increasingly secular nation. For while governments may come and go, and Ofsteds may rise and fall, while frameworks, policies, educational philosophies, political agendas, certainly our place in Europe, may swing this way and that, church schools, though properly responsive to those changes, also remind us that there are certain values that are unchanging, those values that St. Paul here defines as faith, hope, and love. That's perhaps the reason why church schools in Guildford Diocese and nationally are often so oversubscribed, including among their pupils those of other faiths and none. Why the church schools I visited in inner city Birmingham, for example, were so full of Muslim children and yet remained entirely untainted by the religious extremism found in some of the community schools caught up in the Trojan horse inquiry. Because whatever your belief or lack of it, there's a widespread appreciation of the value of a deep-rooted education founded on a living faith, hope, and love, rather than one that can sometimes appear a little confused and values-free. That's perhaps the reason, too, why church schools are often better supported and more fully integrated into the communities they serve than other schools around. Because rather than putting all the pressure on the school community to deliver social, spiritual, and counselling services on top of the day job of educating children, that pressure can now be shared with the church community next door, not to mention those good people at the Education Centre or the Good Shepherd Trust. It is countercultural to think in this way, of course, or to argue that Church of England schools play a key role in developing community cohesion, in countering extremism, and in delivering a well-rounded education. The atheist lobby, with its claim that faith is intrinsically divisive, can seem to have all the cards, especially in the face of Islamic radicalisation. And by some clever sleight of hand, Church of England schools are now branded faith schools, and thereby put in exactly the same category as the most dodgy of extremist madrasas operating from a back room in Bradford. And yet that's not the lived experience of the 1 million pupils who currently attend Church of England schools, nor the 15 million adults who once had a Church of England education. And nor, I should add, is it the lived experience of the vast majority of those attending other faith schools, founded as they so often are, on these enduring values of faith, hope, and love. Which is why the championing of church schools and academies, which has been such a strong feature of Derek's ministry among us, must go on. But back to the classroom, where all the most important stuff happens. And back to 1 Corinthians 13. And here, finally, is a teacher's version of that great text, something I recently used at a conference for head teachers in the Education Centre. For if anything sums up Derek's whole approach to teaching, head teaching, and overseeing the 86 church schools and 9 affiliated schools in the Diocese of Guildford, this does. If I could explain everything perfectly to my pupils, but did not love each one of them, I might as well be talking to an empty room. If I could find all the answers to educational problems and did not love, my efforts would be futile. If I could buy every kind of educational aid and gave all my salary to do so, but without love, it will be a complete waste of time and money. Love is patient when it is necessary to repeat a concept over and over again to a pupil who's struggling. Love is kind when an angry parent accuses other teachers or me. Love is not jealous when another teacher has a class of bright and well-behaved children while mine are not so great. Love is not proud or boastful when my pupils love my lessons and get fantastic results. Love is willing to alter my schedule to to fit in with the needs of others. Love does not scream at my class when they misbehave, but helps them understand the importance of self-discipline. Love does not broadcast all of my pupils' problems and misdeeds to those in the staff room. Love keeps trying even when it seems a pupil will never understand long division or the difference between an adverb and an adjective. Teaching methods, bulletin boards, textbooks, yea, even laptops will eventually be discarded, but love is everlasting. These three things I have learnt through teaching: endurance, patience, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Shall we pray? Heavenly Fathers, we thank you so much for the life of our church schools in this diocese. So we thank you so much for Derek's wise, pastoral, gentle, loving, firm leadership of those schools. So we thank you for our head teachers, for our deputy heads, for all the teaching staff, the ancillary staff, and above all, the 20,000 or more pupils attending our schools at this time. We give you our grateful thanks for all the ways in which your Spirit has worked in Derek and through Derek to bring health and life and love and grace and wisdom across the church schools in this diocese. Thank you, Lord, that he hands over such a positive legacy. And we pray for Derek himself and for Liz, that they might know your special presence and grace as they enter this new adventure that lies before them. And we pray for one another that you would help us in all that we seek to do in your name, to know that love right at the heart of it all. Soften our hearts, Lord, we pray, where they become so easily hardened. Take from us our hearts of stone and replace in them, with them, a heart of flesh, which beats with your love. And especially help the children in this diocese to grow up knowing that they are loved, knowing that their gifts can be fully released for the blessing of the world you love so much, knowing your presence with them through the struggles and the blessings of their lives to come. For we ask these things for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.